Welcome to Bridge the Gap with host Josh and Lucas, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by our supporting partners, NHI, TSO Life, NRC Health, Erdman, Sherpa, TIS, and RCARE. Find out more about this podcast at btgvoice.com.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast, the senior living podcast with Josh and Lucas. We are in Santa Barbara, California at the SLIF conference, which is short for Senior Living Innovation Forum. And Josh, we're in a building full of some of the industry disruptors and most interesting people. And we have one of them on our show today. We would love to welcome Hazel McCallion of Rivera. She is the CEO, Chief Elder Officer at Rivera in Canada. Welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Absolutely. We are so excited that you're here, and we're going to get to hear your story because it is, you have accomplished a tremendous amount in your life here, and we'd love to get more information about that. So tell us about your background and tell us why that has all led into your passions today.
Well, I was born on the Gaspé coast of the province of Quebec. It's on the east coast of Canada, in 1921. And my dad was a fish processor in his business. My mother was a nurse, graduated from the Montreal General Hospital. And at the age of 14, I had to leave my hometown because the educational system only went to grade 9. So I moved away with my sister because I was the baby of a family of 5, came way behind them. She was a school teacher, so I went away to St. John's, Quebec with her to take grade 10. And then for grade 11, which is my last year of education, was in Quebec City. Then I went to Montreal, took a business course, and went to work immediately. I never had the opportunity to attend college or university because being a Depression kid, that wasn't possible. So I had to make it on my own. I worked in the private sector for some 30 years. First of all, as office manager of an American company, M.W. Kellogg. It was known as Canadian Kellogg. Built oil refineries and chemicals plants. And in 1942, we were awarded a contract to build the world's first synthetic rubber plant in Sarnia, Ontario. So the general manager invited me to go to Toronto to assist him in setting up an office to build the plant. So I remained with that company for 20 years. We built oil refineries and chemical plants across Canada. And I decided to leave the job and help my husband in the printing business. And after a few years of being very active in the community, I became mayor of a small town called Streetsville. And then the province amalgamated all the municipalities in our area into a city called Mississauga. And I ran for mayor in 1978 as mayor of Mississauga and remained as mayor to 2014.
Wow.
And left that position and started being involved in many things. That's when Rivera engaged me to be their CEO. I sit on 4 boards. I'm advisor, I'm challenger, chancellor of one of our major colleges. I advise the vice president of the University of Toronto. I'm the I'm involved in the hospital. I'm just involved. I just keep going.
I love that. That's so fascinating. So we just heard, 80 something years of history in like 5 minutes. So there was a lot of things that we could dive in deeper on there.
98 years.
Yes. So tell me, I'm fascinated. You said something about you never had the opportunity to go to college because of the Depression and things like that. You finished up through 10th?
High school in Quebec, the province of Quebec, was grade 11.
You went on and you became a lot of things. You know, not only were you working in the private sector, you were mayor, chancellor of a college.
College.
So
advisor to the University of Toronto, the Mississauga.
Yeah. So obviously you faced probably, I'm assuming, a lot of adversity and a lot of things that you would have to overcome because you didn't have just the normal opportunities. So can you talk us through just some of those challenges that you may have uniquely faced and how, when you were confronted with some of those unique challenges, that you can think back to how you overcame those?
Well, I think you have to appreciate that you have to listen. You have to be interested. You have to be curious. I was a very curious kid. I want to know how everything operated. And there's a lot of people that help you along the way. Like when I was secretary, the general manager of Canadian Kellogg, when he wanted to set up an office in Toronto, he asked me if I would go with him to set up that office. So it's people that encourage you and see that you have a desire to be a success. You know, my mother instilled in me that you got to give the best to whatever you do because the best will come back to you in some way or other. And so I never felt that I was deprived of education. I just felt that I had to take advantage of every opportunity that existed. And working hard, it was very essential. Mm-hmm. You know, I became the first president of a number, or first female president of a number of organizations. And in 1968, I became mayor of a small town in the country of Canada. I think there was maybe a half a dozen female mayors.
Wow.
So you can learn a lot from other people, consulting with people, and listening carefully. You know, as a kid from the Gaspé Coast and going into the big city, I felt that I had to watch what went on for me to know to do the right thing.
Sure.
So,
very fascinating. I love that. So, you know, tell us a little bit. I would be interested to know your take on, I don't know if you were able to hear, we just got to hear Bob Kramer speak, who's just an awesome amount of knowledge in our industry, and I think a very much a visionary. But I was very curious. He was talking about how our industry, senior living industry, has traditionally kind of viewed, and how society has viewed retirement versus what maybe the future, how that is redefining that. And I think a couple of the key terms that he used to describe what the society's view on the idea of retirement is, and that has been, was declination or a decline. Mm-hmm. But the future is more about engagement and enrichment. Exactly. And opportunity. But I want to know two things. One, first of all, you don't seem like you have at all accepted the reality of the view of retirement. But you seem to have embraced way ahead of the times the idea of engagement, enrichment, and constant growth. So what's your take on that?
Well, that is living a life of purpose. In other words, you have to have a purpose for being on this earth and implementing your purpose for life. And I just feel I never say I retired from the business world. I changed from the business world to the public service.
Right.
And then I changed from public service to a wider service. Mm-hmm. Because I'm on four boards. I'm on the Toronto International Airport Board, running Canada's largest airport.
Wow.
And I'm on three other boards, one a technology company, another Green Saver, converting or convincing people to save hydro by being green, etc. So there's so many opportunities out there that, so I never look at that I've retired. Mm-hmm. But people say, how are you enjoying your retirement? I said, I'm still enjoying life.
Right. I love that. Yeah. So tell us a little bit of what is an average day like? What are you spending the majority of your time doing now?
Yeah. Well, I get up very early in the morning at 5:30, and I have a lovely German Shepherd called Missy that I have to exercise, etc. And I look at my emails and check on them as to what it's all about, and phone calls, etc. And then every day I have something on my agenda. There's hardly a day that goes by that, because having been mayor of a municipality for 36 years, you're still well known in all the organizations, and I get a ton of invitations still to go to the functions. So I can be busy every day, and busy most of the time, both day and evening, if sure. I want to be.
Sure.
Well, now, not being mayor anymore, I pick and choose which ones I would like to go to.
Sure.
Depending on the value of the contact I could make. So I can, then I do my own housework.
Okay.
I have a large property. I do all my gardening.
Wow.
And I have a swimming pool that I have to look after. So I don't count on, I don't have anybody come. There's only, the only contractor that comes to my house is to cut the grass. I cut that for years. I had a sit-on mower that I used to run around. Just
I'm
it.
Not surprised.
But, not at all.
But then a friend, a young Greek lad, said, no, you shouldn't be cutting your lawn. I didn't like the edging, but I did like running around with the...
Yeah, with the mower. So what is primarily the role of the CEO?
Oh, well, yes. It's an interesting role. I really didn't know when they asked me to be to work for them. It was later on that Trish actually chose the name of CEO, Chief Elder Officer.
I love that.
Yeah, and I get a kick out of it because they say, well, what are you doing now? And I say, well, I'm CEO of Rivero. Oh, and then I tell them Chief Elder Office. They think it's finance administration. So, I visit their homes. I've visited 35 of their homes in Ontario so far, and also their homes in British Columbia, both assisted living, retirement living, and long-term care. And we arrange I meet the staff when I go there, first of all, and chat with the staff as to encourage them of what the great service that they are providing to people that need assistance at this point in some way. Then I have a round table with people chosen from the residents to meet with them. And the round table is very interesting. I get the people to talk about, what did you do before you chose a retirement home? And people love to talk about what they did, you know.
Sure.
Some you have to shorten the discussion. They like to go on and on. And then I say to them, now, I want you to be very honest. You know, when did you move in? How long have you been here? And what was your experience when you first moved in? Is there any way that experience, what you experienced, have you any suggestions? It's not a criticism, though. Mm-hmm. I want you to be honest. This is going to be helpful. You can be very helpful by telling me what could be improved. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about the services, et cetera. And somebody takes notes of my discussion with the roundtable, and that report goes into head office. Any suggestions of especially how to improve the service, and what has been your experience with staff, you know? And I have to tell you, from my experience at Rivera, I have never had one complaint about staff.
Wow.
But I've had a complaint about shortage of staff. Mm. And I deal with that because sure. I'd say, well, you know, when I was mayor, I used to get calls about people not showing up when they called about a parking problem in the area. And I would say to the person that called, Madam Mayor, we called your parking control and they didn't come for a day or two. I said, now, unfortunately, we don't have parking control officers sitting around waiting for a call. Mm-hmm. Can't afford it. You can't afford the taxes if we did.
Right.
So therefore, you have to be patient. And wait. And I said, that's the same with staff in these places. The staff is on a certain program. But if something exceptional happens, they don't have staff waiting for that exceptional
sure.
situation. So therefore, you as the participants have to maybe wait a little longer.
right,
for service, etc. But realize that the staff then has a team approach to the situation, because I use my experience as mayor.
Right.
You know, that you can't have people waiting around for calls. You have a certain staffing program, and therefore you have to deal with the issues based on that.
I'm convinced. She just convinced me. I'm fine now. I'll just wait.
I love it. Well, it's obvious that your wealth of history, your life experiences has prepared you uniquely for what purpose you're serving right now in that CEO role.
Yeah. Well, you know, I say to them, you volunteered when you were out in the community because our country was built on volunteers. You can still volunteer when you're in a home.
That's right.
A retirement home. There are people that need a little help that you can do, and I get examples of that. And don't lose your independence. Mm-hmm. I say to them, do everything you can for yourself, even though you're paying for it, because losing your independence is one of the greatest detriments to a person's life. You want to remain independent. I give examples of fixing things around the house. And I wouldn't call my son. I try and I work at it till I can fix it myself. If I can't, then he'll come over and do it. Independence is extremely important.
Right.
I'd love to hear your thoughts. We talk about intergenerational a lot on our program. The collaboration between different ages, yeah, and what that looks like for the future of seniors housing and senior living. What are your thoughts on that topic?
Oh, I think it's extremely important. There's one thing that I really emphasize, but Revere is very good at it, engaging the community, especially high school students and others, to come in. There's one home where high school is right across the road from one of the Revere retirement homes and long-term care, and the students will come over and help serve the meals, especially for people that might have trouble serving themselves. And in one of our city's long-term care homes, the students go in at noon of a school close by to help feed those that need help to be fed. So I think, secondly, people who are in retirement homes love to be, they still want to enjoy being out in the community. So you got to bring the community into the home to some degrees. Sure, Revere takes them out into the community, but it's so important. People come in and make presentations at Christmas time and different times, a singing group from the community, and especially young people. Seniors want to be, they want to feel they're with young people. It makes them feel good.
Yeah.
They feel that they are still enjoying the atmosphere of young people. Very, very important.
You seem like a person that has also been heavily involved in mentorship. There are a lot of young people actually getting into the business of senior living because of the reward and the purpose and the mission behind working with older adults. It's very fulfilling work.
Well, Revere has a program that I witnessed just last week in which this company, this lady arranges for students to come and do a video of working with the seniors in the home. And we saw the video as a result of the interview that the students, they're learning to be in the communication world, but at the same time, and it is absolutely amazing to hear the students say what they've learned from working with a senior, how they have been inspired, and what a record. And, you know, they're really excited about it. So tying that into and the seniors, of course, are all excited. They're called stars. They pick 10 or 12 stars. And the student interviews them and does a video on there. People love to talk about what they did. The other thing that I think we have to do is, just because people have left the service or left the things that they did in the community, There was one person who said that she missed being a choir director in her church. And I said to her, well, why don't you form a choir in the home? I think we have to try to, it's not easy, but to involve the type of work they did, if it's possible, into the program in the home, if you can. So I said to her, set up a choir, have a sing song every so often, and you be the leader.
I love that. And so Lucas and I have talked about this a lot, and you're living it out. And that is, all of your life experiences have prepared you for the time and place that you have to serve right now and to live out that purpose. I love that you have lived that out. So a couple of things. A lot of our audience is young leaders. I think Lucas and I would still like to think of ourselves as young. But I think with the great opportunity our space has for growth and change, I think a lot of people are asking, what's next? What do we do? Could you give our young listeners some, on the one hand, good life takeaways, good life advice that you've lived by, and good leadership advice for the challenges that they're going to face in adapting to the next generation?
Yeah. Well, I think young people today have to be curious, as I say, about the future. They have to be prepared to be committed to whatever they undertake to do. I think the business world especially is looking for young people that are committed. Secondly, they have to be able to enjoy communication. I'm really concerned with technology interfering with good communication, I mean, actual communication. That, I think, can have a very serious... So young people should not let that phone control their life. And some just can't get off the phone.
Sure.
You know, when you find family, I ran across an experience where father said, if his daughter's upstairs in her bedroom, instead of coming down and talking to her dad, she texts him.
Oh, wow.
That to me is no, no.
Right.
Et cetera. So young people today have to have a purpose. They have to realize that they're on this earth for a reason. All kinds of opportunities exist for them if they want to be alert to the opportunities. Integrity is very important. And secondly, they have to feel that they want, that maybe they can make a difference in the world, in the lives of people, in the organization of their community, the organization of their country. They got to really feel that there's all unlimited opportunities for them out there, and that just it's up to them. And they should never fear the future, because a lot of young people wonder, they should shape it.
Hmm. I love that. So we have, to our listeners, curiosity, commitment, communication, finding your purpose, being ambitious towards that, shape the future, don't be afraid of the future. Beautiful words from Hazel. We're going to want our audience to connect with you, and we hope that's okay.
Absolutely. Well, this has been just a very, very wonderful conversation, and at a beautiful, beautiful location here in Santa Barbara, California. And I know that there are many people waiting back in the hallway that want to talk to you. And we're so we're blessed to be able to share this with a bigger audience. And so we will connect with you and your organization in our show notes so that people have a way to get in contact and learn more. And if they have any questions, please follow us at btgvoice.com. You can connect on all of our social pages. Send Josh and I a message on LinkedIn. You can DM us on Instagram, and we'll be happy to get back with you. And thanks everyone for listening to another great episode of Bridge the Gap.
The podcast team wants to hear from you. If you're on Instagram, let us know your takeaways. Take a screenshot of the show you just listened to, tag BTG Voice, and we might just share your thoughts. Thanks for listening to Bridge the Gap.